Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hello, good evening. Here we are again. It's Deserted Island Dish live here on a Wednesday night, a very sunny, hot Wednesday night in the Sheffield Live studio. So Deserted Island Dish, it's the programme that was created so we could speak to the people who were born in Ireland and now live in South Yorkshire and hear about their life stories, their journeys from Ireland to Sheffield. But we've been doing it over a year now. We've run out of Irish people some time ago, but I've actually found one. I've got Mr. Ben McGinley in the studio with me tonight. So a proud Derry man, is that fair to say, Ben?
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah.
Welcome to the show. Good evening. How are you feeling?
Yeah, not too bad, Ben. How are you?
It's warm in the studio, isn't it? We've got fans going, which is a first for Sheffield Live. Thanks to Sheffield Live for supplying fans here on this very hot night here in Sheffield. So we're going to spend the next hour keeping ourselves cool and hydrated while we're here, Ben, to talk about your life and how you've got on. So I hope you enjoy it. You picked some great songs.
Yeah, no, I've tried. No, it'll be interesting, something different, so we'll give it a go, it'll be alright.
Yeah, it's something to do on a Wednesday night, isn't it?
Yeah, it gives me something to do, alright.
No, it's good. So I've known Ben, I was going to say, it must be like 4 or 5 years, Ben, is it? How long have you been in Sheffield?
I've been here since I came over in 2018, and then I sort of took about 2 years before I came on to like the Irish scene, you know, meeting other Irish people. I kind of got stuck in the uni life.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, I would say I sort of came about, maybe met you in 2020.
Yeah.
Something around that time.
Yeah, so 5 or 6 years we've known you. And I've asked you to be on the show many times before, but now you've agreed to do it. What do you think's to change your mind?
I don't know. Maybe a bit shy at the start, or I don't know what it was, but no, I've made it in the end up anyway, so I couldn't say no to you another time, could I?
No, you couldn't, no. So thanks for doing it. No, thank you. Oh, it's going to be great hour. So you were, yeah, born in Derry. Would you say you're the youngest person I've ever had on the show? So 1999, you were born.
Yeah, 26 now.
Yeah. So I usually have people certainly more than twice your age, sometimes treble your age on the show. Sorry, man, but I'm really pleased that you're here. And to be honest, Ben, certainly over the last few years, you've got kind of a maturity that's like feels like you're a lot older than 26. Do you feel like yourself?
Ah, geez, some people disagree with that, definitely.
Yeah, maybe on occasions, but
No, I'd say so, yeah. Sort of always had an older head on my shoulders, I'd say. I was probably a bit more mature even when I was younger than I am now. I think I've started to go backwards.
Yeah, yeah, well, that happens a lot, yeah.
But, yeah, no, for 26, I don't think I'm doing too bad.
Yeah, well, we don't want to jump ahead too much for your life, because we try and do it in order, but
yeah.
So let's start. And what was your life growing up like there?
Yeah, like you say, I'm from Derry. Grew up in a wee town called Garva. Garva was probably someone like myself. It probably wasn't the best place to be brought up. There was goods and bads to it. So there was went to pretty good school, to be honest.
How big is the town? Was it?
It's probably just shy of 1,500 people. So okay. It's one of those small rural Irish towns where everyone literally knows.
Yeah.
Not just everyone, but you know what time you wake up, what colour your socks are. They know everything about you.
So they have like the usual. How many pubs do they have?
So when I was younger, there was, what was there now? 3 pubs and what they call a hotel.
Yeah.
It was just it was really a bar more than anything than a hotel.
Yeah.
Now they've just got, they've actually got 2 now. So there was 1 for a while. And then the hotel opened back up again there about a year or two ago.
So just getting the size. And you have a primary school in that town?
Just outside it. Quite close to where I was. I was just in the brink of Garva. So it was it was handy enough for me to get to school. It was, you know, when I was primary school, maybe a 5-6 minute walk of that from the house. But yeah, apart from that, there's two shops, pubs, yeah. There's a butcher's, and that's probably the height of it, to be honest.
And what about your family? What is your family are in terms of brothers, sisters?
Yeah, only child. Yeah. Only child, just me, the mother and father. I think I was probably more than enough for them.
Okay.
Yeah, so just sort of grew up as an only child, spent a lot of time, well, when I was younger, I was just out playing a lot of football. I got integrated into the Gaelic whenever I was very young.
Yeah, so Gaelic football. For the English listeners, that's football.
Gaelic football, yeah. So was quite lucky. There was only one other fella in the town that was playing Gaelic football.
Okay.
And my mother happened to be best friends with his mother. Yeah. So I probably spent more time in his house than I did on my own.
Why was the only you and one other kid playing Gaelic football?
It was quite a loyalist Protestant village.
Yeah.
There wasn't really any. He wasn't even Catholic. Well, his mother was, but his dad was Protestant.
Yeah.
So growing up, we were the only sort of full Catholic family.
Yeah. Who is it? Your mum or dad decided to live there? Or?
So my mother grew up on it.
Okay.
When she was younger, it was the same house that she was sort of raised in.
So she's always been like the only Catholic in the village.
Yeah, as far as I know,
yeah.
Definitely whenever I was floating about, we were the only ones. There's a, just before I was born, you're hearing stories, and there was quite a lot of hostility to the thought that I was going to be a Catholic brought into this town. I think my mother spent that long there. She worked in the town all her life.
She was accepted then? Or?
Pretty much, yeah. She was a chef, so she was like, she was very much taken at face value, where she was seeing the same people sort of every day. And this just wasn't, you know, this wasn't an issue. It was forgotten about, and she lived there, she grew up there. She had four brothers when she was growing up as well as a sister.
Yeah.
So it was, quite a large family. The eight of them, with the mother and father, so they...
Because they'd have grown up in the height of the troubles and, you know, pretty a lot of stuff going on there, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you were kind of past that in a lot of ways. I'm sure we'll come on to there was still remnants of that going on, but I'm thinking about for your mums and her brothers and stuff to be in that
they would
very
have been,
Protestant town. And
they would have been right in the mix of it. My mother was born in 56.
Yeah.
Oh, no, 64. Yeah, got that wrong. She was born in 64, so she would have spent like the best part of her teenage years, 20s, in the mix of it.
Yeah. Was there a Catholic church in your town?
No, not at all.
Did you go to church?
We went out, there was a little parish just about 5 miles out the road from us called Claret.
Yeah.
So when I was younger, my mother's very religious. She would have brought me along, and the only reason I sort of went was I was always getting a donut towards the end of it, so that was as the height of my religion went, that there was a donut at the end of it. But we went every Sunday anyway.
And it was a trip. You had a car, or you got in a car?
Yeah, we had a little car, a little Vauxhall Corsa. Me, my mother, her best friend, and Chrissy, the lad I was telling you got me into the Gaelic, so it was the four of us would go every Sunday. You wouldn't have got a Catholic chapel in Garva at all.
No, okay. Well, what part of the show is we play music and you pick some songs for us. Probably time for your first song, Ben. So do you want to say what it is and why you picked it?
Yeah, it's Mick Flavin, Someday You'll Love Me. There's a lot of music growing up in the house, and this is a song that sticks out. I remember being in the kitchen where my mother would have been playing this on the old CD player. So, this is the reason.
The song that reminds you of the child.
Let's
play it. Someday You'll Love Me, Mick Flavin.
Overflowing, taking bets, I know where it's
Someday You'll Love Me. That's Mick Flavin, which is the choice of Ben McGinley, is my guest tonight here on Deserted Island Days. So every week we try and get an Irish person in who's now living in South Yorkshire and tell us about their life and how they got to Sheffield and how life is now. So we're going to get to that point. But yeah, Ben, we've got as far as really just your childhood, really, which is quite interesting for me. And see, these are the things that I didn't really know about you, is that you grew up, and I've kind of seen you as, I suppose, quite a proud Republican. But in those early days as a child, you didn't really have that in your life, really. You were just in a place where people, you were just fitting in and everyone else was Protestant. Is that right? At your primary school level, you didn't really know anything about that.
I'd say so, yeah. I was probably very naive to it when I was younger. It just wasn't thought of. There was a lot of, you'd see a lot of flags around the town of sort of loyalist Protestant paramilitaries,
yeah.
And just never give it a second thought.
It was just normal to you, wasn't it? That was it.
Yeah, it was just day-to-day life. You were doing a lot of, being an only child, you were sort of spending a lot of time running around with, well, whoever was else was running around.
Makes, yeah.
They happened to be Protestants, and it was, yeah, at the time, you didn't really realise it. But yeah, there was probably a lot of bitterness and a lot of just non-acceptance, really.
Yeah.
But yeah,
but you wouldn't really know why or what.
It wasn't really. Yeah, you'd hear the odd, like, well, you'd hear quite a lot of like slurs, of being a Catholic. You know, the tag or the finian or whatever it was. But you never knew what it meant. And it wasn't really, because you didn't know it. What it couldn't hurt you, sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'd say it wasn't until I got a bit older that I sort of did a bit of research and tried to learn about it sort of on my own accord.
Yeah.
But that wasn't until maybe I was 14, 15, 16, like.
Yeah, you know? I know. Well, in some ways, I don't know, it's hard to say. Sometimes it's nice to be that kind of innocent and naive, isn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I suppose so. Like I said, it was like water off a duck's back, because I didn't really know what they were saying or what they were indicating at. But it wasn't all bad. Like, these were the same people that you would play football with and you would mess about with, and you know, you'd spend most of your days together. It was just, there'd be, I don't know, like a switch.
Yeah.
It would turn very quickly, or for really no reason at all. It was quite strange, even looking back on it now. It's mad to think that was the case.
Yeah, yeah. No, well, and you don't really, as you say, know any difference or understand all why it's all that.
No. Not,
but it must have been a change then when you went to secondary school. Did you go to a Catholic secondary school? Or?
Yeah, so even my primary school was, it was Catholic as well.
Oh.
But again, because you were that young, you didn't know. But whenever I went to secondary school, you're put in with a bigger pool of people. The whole reasoning behind, so I went to St. Pat's in Mahara, and I'd say 90% of the fellas, the only reason they go to St. Pat's is they have a really good history of Gaelic football.
Okay.
So The education side of it for me was
not that important.
Was gone. Like,
and were you one of those that was into the Gaelic football back then?
Massively, yeah. So that was sort of the escape. So, you know, to get out of the town, you were travelling 3 miles up the road and you were playing Gaelic with people who, well, I don't want to say like-minded, but you weren't getting the same sort of a stick or whatever you want to call it.
You felt more included, maybe?
Yeah, parts of it, because you'd be in Garva and they'd be saying one thing to you, but then you would go up to Glenolan and they'd be saying, you know, maybe you're from Garva, what are you doing?
So it was the stigma around it.
But yeah, no, from a really young age, I started playing Gaelic at 4, and when I got to secondary school, I kind of found my feet for it a little bit more, and I loved it, like, still do. But yeah, it was solely based around going to St. Pat's, based on the Gaelic, with the history they've got.
So Gaelic football is a big part of your life. I mean, we'll talk about that later, I think. So we don't want to jump straight to the good bits about the Gaelic football in Sheffield, but but it carried on for some time. And I suppose that at that time as well, you start to discover your own music, and we could play your next song, which is part of that. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably the first song, or the first artist that I probably ever really got into, and this was sort of a song that stood out for me. And not really one of his mainstream songs, but I really enjoyed this one.
So it's Jerry Cinnamon and What Have You Done?
Mm-hmm. What have you done, son? Sold your soul to a demon. Dance like a dafty for a bag of snow. Where will you run, son, when the joke gets old? And as I stand here in the company of strangers, messed up suckle in a room of squares, I stand alone dreaming of a world without nightmares. But what do you care? Sold to a demon, dance like a dafty for a bag of snow. Where will you run, son, when the joke gets old? And as I stand here in the company of strangers, messed up suckle in a room of squares, I stand alone dreaming of a world without nightmares. But what do you care?
That's Jerry Cinnamon with What Have You Done? It's nice, that's great Jerry Cinnamon, isn't he? He always good value. Belts out a good song. Amazing musician. So that's my choice of Ben McGinley as my guest tonight on Deserted Island Dis. So we've got to kind of secondary school, and you was kind of saying that really education wasn't a main bit, but you enjoyed the playing the Gaelic football. I know what happened in your life after that then.
Yeah, sort of got fed up with Garva and what it had to offer, and decided to move. I went down on holidays one year, it might have been 2014 or 15 in the summer, down to my auntie and uncle, my cousins,
yeah.
my mother's sisters, and we went down there, and I just loved it. It's just a great environment.
So Wexford, yeah.
In Wexford, yeah. It's a little town called New Ross.
Which is about as far as where you can get from there, isn't it? And it's still Staten Island.
So
it's a long
time
way.
Before I was driving and stuff, you were getting the bus down. It was 3.5 hours to Dublin. You maybe have an hour's wait, and then you'd be getting another bus down into Waterford that would then go into New Ross, and that would be another 3 hours.
So it's like all day, yeah.
Yeah, you'd be looking at about an 8-hour trip, but it was worth it completely. They actually at the start, my uncle, I don't think he took to me very well. I was pretty naughty as a kid. So he was thinking, you know, what's this young fella doing coming down here, causing trouble? But then I sort of maybe changed his mind a wee bit on that trip, and we got on very well, still do. It was great to me. About a year later, maybe 9 months later, that's when I sort of got fed up. But I don't know how it came about. I think I just started making more frequent frequent trips down, and it kind of just stuck, and I ended up spending, I'd probably say, about the best part of half the year down there every year. About 6 months, and I would go down, and I sort of made like a second life. You're making new friends, and it was brilliant. I would go back up for my Gaelic matches and things like this, and whenever I ended up going to college, luckily enough, my course was all... it was all coursework, so I didn't have to get back for any exams.
So you didn't have to do lessons and stuff, yeah.
I could do the best part of it from down there, you know.
What was the course?
It was sports development with coaching.
Right.
And I did that in Coleraine. And it was 100% coursework, but it was brilliant. Lectures were brilliant. It was really laid back in comparison to school. And it was really interesting as well. It got quite into the... At the time, I was doing a lot of... Well, I thought I was doing bodybuilding. I was pretty crap at that.
Right.
But I ended up doing a lot of strongman.
Okay.
And yeah, just took to it, ended up doing my fitness instructing qualifications, my personal training, had a few clients, nothing major, but at 18 it was a bit of a start, and it's what I thought I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So it all kind of tied in with each other, with the course and what I was kind of doing externally. And like I said, I was able to do that from down in Wexford, and it was just a completely different way of life. It was like day and night from Garva. I loved it, like.
Yeah, I've never been to Wexford, but I've heard good things. It's like a bit more of a, I suppose, traditional Irish place in terms of, they just had the traditional music place as well. And
They had the FLA there, I think last year, the year before, and I ended up going down to it. And just
How'd you go? Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, you talk about a week's crack. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Me and my dad, we went down and stayed with the relatives. They're only, 15-20 minute drive outside of Wexford, so the accommodation, everything was sorted, and you talk about a great week.
So just for the English audience, or people don't know, just explain what the FLA is and what's it like.
The FLA would be, it's a week's festival. I think it's the biggest festival in Ireland.
Yeah.
There was something like 750,000 people came throughout the week to Wexford to enjoy it, and it's traditional music, Irish dancing, a lot of drinking, just absolute crack. If you can't enjoy that, then I don't know what you can enjoy.
I've seen lots of videos, it looks amazing, isn't it?
It's really good. You walk around any street corner, you might have, you know, someone busking, and then you turn the corner and there's a little kid and he's doing Irish dancing, and then you turn another corner and
Ed Sheeran's there.
Well, Ed Sheeran was there last year, I missed him, but that's fine, that's not the reason
exactly, he did well there. But this year, it's in Belfast this year, isn't it?
They're looking at the biggest FLA ever. I think they're talking about 1 million people.
Yeah.
So, that'll be great. It'll be great for the North. It'll be great for just Irish music in general. Belfast's a brilliant city.
Yeah. You're going to try and get along again, or?
I don't know. It depends. My girlfriend at the minute, she's family in Belfast. So if she was interested in going, I think it wouldn't be worth missing, really.
Yeah. But we're jumping ahead, aren't you? But you've got some news. She's got quite a busy year ahead, hasn't she, your girlfriend?
Yeah, busy news. She's pregnant. She's due on...
Congratulations.
Thank you. She's due on the 15th of September. Busy old year. Moving house, everything. Like, we just bought a new house. It's all kind of... The last year, it's all
Maybe the flowers. Maybe.
Well, we'll see.
It'll be good for the baby, though, won't it? Get them rhythms inside them.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
So you actually made the move to Wexford. You lived in Wexford eventually, or you always kind of between two?
You sort of split it. I think sort of towards 17, 18, I was probably spending more time down in Wexford than I was back up in Derry. I completely loved it down there. Just a great quality of life. My auntie and uncle, they were like a second mother and father in that sense as well. They sort of took me in. Kind of wanted me away from Garva as well.
Yeah.
I think it would be fair to say, just because, well, my auntie, she loved it as well, and she kind of knew what it was about. And it was just, even like the neighbours down there, they live in a lovely sort of cul-de-sac area, and everyone was good as gold. They couldn't do enough for you.
It's probably a completely different atmosphere of
it couldn't have
tension,
been
wasn't there?
Night.
It sounds good. Sounds like a good thing to do. And I just we need to get some songs in, I know, but I'm just so interested, because one of the things I'm interested in is about your Gaelic football, I suppose, your career, and how good did you get, or any chance of making it for the play for?
I don't think so. So I played at school in Ulster finals and things like that, won medals and stuff, but that was more based on the talent that was around. But probably wasn't too bad, but I don't think it would have. I don't think it would be seeing me on TV either.
Yeah.
Like, didn't do too bad, especially whenever I was sort of in my teens, because I was doing the strongman. I was probably more developed physically than a lot of the lads at my age, which was half the battle. The goal was never to play for Derry, even whenever I was at secondary school and you were playing, it was like very clicky.
Yeah,
and I was never really in that clique.
Yeah.
I had my own pals and I wasn't worried about how good or bad they were at Gaelic, which probably wasn't great, but
you started, yeah, you stuck with your loyalty and had a laugh for your mates.
Yeah, it was just these lads were, I thought they were a better crack. They're funny lads. And the thing that, I don't know what it's like now, but when I was there it was, if you're good at Gaelic, all the Gaelic lads stick together, and I never really accepted that. So I think there was maybe even a bit of, I wouldn't say hostility, but it was just...
Yeah, maybe coming from the other town that was mostly like Protestant, you kind of, again, not fitting in with all that kind of, or buying into all that.
I don't know if that had anything to do with it by secondary school. That was kind of, yeah, no, it probably wasn't that. I think it was just the fact that I enjoyed the lads that were, didn't smoke or anything like that at the time, but, you know, the lads
they weren't
were probably,
serious,
they were probably rascals whenever they were at school, they were smoking at break time, but I was never into that. I just thought these lads were funny and they were good crack and we got on, so... for me, they had more to offer than lads that were just good at Gaelic. But
yeah, good stuff. Let's play a song then. So you've got an Oasis one. What does that fit in with this period of your life? Or
that's more whenever I came over to England, moved to Sheffield, and
okay. Let's not do that one then. Should we do what about the one about Wexford? Should we play that one?
Yeah, we'll do that one. Big Wexford song from '96 when they won the All Ireland.
Yeah. So. This one's not on Spotify or any other places, isn't it? So it's on YouTube.
You have to dig deep for this one.
So we're going to go on, just explain about it. And
So it's pretty much a tribute to the Wexford hurling team that won the All-Ireland in '96. They're mad down there, so they wrote a song about it, and I think there was a lot of partying done to this song, but it's a good vibe.
It's a great
good
song.
Crack.
September, we were standing at the station waiting for a train. There was preaching Christian brothers, there was nuns and reverend mothers, there was guys and drunks and others, and everyone was just the same. Well, they came from Enniscorthy, from New Rosslefers and Gory. There was buses from Bunclody, and there was horses, carts and all. And as they stepped out on the platform, there was shouting and a screaming. And as they carried Larry Murphy, he looked 25 feet tall. So what's the story, man, story? That was a really bad for glory. And when at last the cup was lifted, they said we brought it back for you. And we were dancing at the crossroads, in the shadow of a bonfire, underneath the silver moonlight. We were singing until dawn, and we were dancing at the crossroads, with the punching and the porter, dancing jiggeries and polkas, until the early morn. In every barn and on the main street, there were hanging from the rafters, and they sang the boys of Wexford, like it was going out of style. All the bingo halls were empty, and all the masses finished early. Sure no one ever saw the likes of since the time of JFK. And when we look at young O'Gorman, and through the midfield he was storming, and then the Cusick stand erupted when he scored from 60 yards. We were dancing at the crossroads, in the shadow of a bonfire, underneath the silver moonlight. We were singing until dawn. Yeah, we were dancing at the crossroads, with the potting and the water, dancing jigs and reels and polkas, until the early morn. He said he was a goner, but when he stood up in the Hogan, I even saw a grown man cry. We were dancing at the crossroads, in the shadow of a bonfire, underneath the silver moonlight. We were singing until dawn. We were dancing at the crossroads, with the
Potting and the Porter, dancing jigs and rinse and polkas until the early morn.
Here we go!
Denny and Fitzhenry, Jerkus, Sean Flood, Rod, Danny Lean, Don Connor, Joe, Billy Moore, Martin Story, John O'Connor, Tom Dempsey, George O'Connor, Adrian Fenlon and Larry O'Gorman, Rory McCarthy, Larry Murphy, Gary Laughlin, Emma Scallon, Dave Grinney, Declan Roo, Jim Bourne, Shane, Carly, Paul Finn, Tommy Hall, Ireland team, and the man who dares to dream. His name is Liam Griffin, Seamus Cannon, Joe Kearns, MJ Reck and all the rest. The Brilliant Men in 96 will be remembered with the best. Blacker, Quigley, Whelan, Doran, Boogie, Murphy, Nolan Flood, and the names you can't recall, your Wexford heroes, one and all.
Pop Wexford!
Ah, them boys seem like fun. The Wild Swans. I've never heard of them before. There's so many Irish bands, isn't there? Great, have great crack. But yeah, it's from the 90s. You'd have been too young for them yourself, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I was, yeah. But no, kind of just that came with being down in Wexford. That song kind of came about, and I just thought, yeah, like you said.
So everyone would be playing in the pubs and that. And
just a bit of crack, the song, so it is. They're still reminiscing about the 96, so they are. So yeah, yeah. You'd hear that a wee bit.
Yeah, good. I mean, there's so many bands in it that you could have picked, you were saying earlier, and are of that ilk, like that you kind of, I mean, we've got the Tumbling Paddies coming on in a bit, but that kind of joyful Irish music and stuff is a big part of what you like, is that generally, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, no, yeah, it was a tough pick. The Tumbling Paddies edged it out of a few other ones, but yeah, it's just, I think the best part of Irish music just comes from having the crack, yeah. You know. And say that song there, I'd probably emphasise it as much as anything. It's, you know, it's a good laugh.
It's great. How they got all the names in.
They've done really well, so they have.
It's good. So back to you. Yes, Ben McGinley, my guest tonight on Deserted Island Discs. We're over halfway through the show. We've not got to Sheffield yet, so that's a big part of the show. So how did you get to Sheffield?
Oh, by pure accident.
Yeah,
real accident. So the plan was, I was going to move down to Wexford, well, just outside Wexford. It's a border county, Waterford, for university.
Yeah,
it just turned out to be an absolute nightmare trying to get down. We have UCAS over here for university, and they have something called the CAO, and even the lecturer I had at college at the time, he was a lecturer down in Waterford Institute of Technology, the university.
Well, the guy in Coleraine was down
at
Waterford,
so he was teaching at a master's level down there. So I came to him for advice, and he struggled with it. There is obviously ways around it, but we couldn't wrap our heads around it. So, and then there was
because you was a UK citizen, is it because of that? No.
Yeah, kind of. So if you're doing, we do our A-levels, we do a BTEC or whatever it was, and in the South they do something called Leave and Search, and you get different points and whatever. It's a sort of a different level of university down there. It's the third toughest secondary level exams in Europe or something.
Yeah.
So my grades came out really well. You know, that took a bit of buttering up, but we got them there and end up. But it was more transferring from
the UK
to the South.
Ah, yeah.
And anyway, it fell through for that and probably a couple of other reasons, but I was told that if I went to university in the UK, I was eligible for a scholarship based on my grades. So, but the conditions was that it had to be inside the UK. It was with the guy that makes Magners, JP McManus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He does a scholarship every year for, I think, 7 people.
Yeah.
He gives them $7,000 every year. They're in continuous education at university level. Anyway, I went for it, and I think I finished sort of 9th in it out of the 7, so I missed out. But by that point, I'd already applied. But I didn't even know how to apply for university. To be quite honest with you, I typed in the course I was doing and then put the word university at the end of it. The first thing that came up was Sheffield. And I just, you know, said, that'll do, sort of thing.
Yeah.
But
and what course was it?
It was, again, sports development with coaching, but it was very, very different. It was very sports development based. There wasn't much sports coaching in it.
Yeah.
Just didn't have the love for it as much.
So what was, go back, what was it like? Did you come for like an open day or anything? Or was, did you,
no,
no, you just came.
So my course began the 24th of September in 2018. I came over on the 22nd and just, it was the first time I'd ever been in Sheffield. I'd only been on a plane once before, and I was to London for I was coaching a guy. But I came over and was just, didn't know what I was getting myself into, but it worked out great. You know, couldn't have picked a better spot, I don't think.
So you found some friends quickly?
Yeah, at the time I was like, I don't know if it was living in the South, but I was doing a bit of research into, you know, like the trouble between, well, the Troubles.
The Troubles,
I even went back to, you know, hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And just had this like sort of distaste for, it was quite
English.
Stupid, yeah, it was quite stupid to me. It was pretty naive as well, but I hated the thought that I was in England.
Yeah.
And just kind of blamed every man and their dog for what had sort of happened.
Over the last thousands of years.
I remember meeting even now, my best pal. I met him in the subway in Ecclesall Road on the 24th, the morning before. He was on my course, so we said we'd meet up before. And he was telling me he was Irish with an English accent. And I was just going, you're as Irish as these shoes I've got on me. There's no... And I was raging.
Yeah.
And then it took about 2 or 3 months before I came around to it and was going... You know, like these people aren't, these guys don't even know what
They're
happened.
Not the enemy.
How can I blame these fellas for what happened? So, it was it was pretty stupid for me, but it was a quick turnaround as well. You know, two or 3 months in, I was just thinking, you know, like these people are as good as anywhere. But yeah, I met a great bunch of lads, couldn't have felt any luckier. And that's probably the reason that I stayed for as long as I did.
Yeah, staying in Sheffield.
I'd say so, yeah, because I could have went home, but I just thought, why would you whenever, like, again? Yeah. It was just great fun.
Yeah, and you didn't finish the course, did you, or did you?
Didn't finish the course, no. I got to the end of second year, and it was a small course of about 30 people, and most people were talking about, you know, like, I don't see this going anywhere, I don't know what to do with this. You could go and do a PGCE and be a teacher.
Yeah, it's difficult to get a job anyway with that degree, yeah.
But,
And you're getting into debt.
I really felt that, and just thinking, you know, we're paying close to 10 grand for a course and then 5 years for the fees. Yeah. And I just thought, you know, what am I doing this for? Just to have my name on a certificate. So I don't know if I don't regret it at all, dropping out. But I stayed anyway. And then I felt quite lucky. I was in the Irish community at this point, so...
You'd found the Grapes and the Gaelic football team.
Yeah, so the Gaelic football team was the next big thing. I ended up, sort of the time I dropped out, one of the lads that did sponsorship, and he'd been the Grapes, but he did sponsorship for a club as well, Kieran O'Shea. He was great to me, still is great to me. He kind of came in with an offer, and in typical Kieran fashion, he says, would any of the Gaelic lads be... keen for a couple of days' work.
Yeah.
So he messaged Michael, and Michael put it into our Gaelic group chat. So I put my hand up thinking, you know, what harm could it do?
Yeah.
So I think Kieran's gone back to Michael and said, what's this lad like? And at the time, I was like, again, young, naive, probably
a
bit of a prick. And Michael told him, he says, look, he's an all right fella, but he's getting himself in a lot of fights and a lot of rows in football. So he told him. Anyway, I came down to the Grapes on the Sunday and didn't know anything. I just came down for a beer and I said to Michael, look, can I get a drink of Magners or whatever it was I was drinking? And he gave me the glass and he says, that guy behind you, that's the man you're going to go and do a bit of work for.
Yeah.
So I turned around and I said, look, I'll introduce myself. And I shook his hand and I says, look, Kieran, I'm Ben. I'm going to be your labourer as of next week. It's nice to meet you. And he's a big man. So he kind of pulled me in. And the first thing he said to me, he says, I heard you like to box. And I was just thinking, like, what sort of reference is this like?
Yeah.
But even till the day, like, we get on really well.
Yeah, that was quite a good impression of old Kieran. He's been on the show.
I've heard it. He was massive for me. He was.
No, he's,
That 3 week job ended up. I'm still working on that 6 years later. So,
amongst other things, I know you're not just labouring now, are you? But we'll come on to that in a bit. We better try and squeeze a song in. Sorry, Ben.
Go ahead,
it's also interesting, but. But unfortunately, we're going to have to play one of your songs, yeah. So you picked Slide Away, Oasis. Why is this?
Yeah, kind of got a bit off topic, but sort of my best mate when I came to uni, Dan, he was a massive sort of Oasis indie fan, and we spent a lot of time listening to Oasis, and this was the main one we would be listening to.
So good times at college, uni, is it, this one?
Yeah. I'm always thinking.
Hi, my name's Billy Bragg, and you're listening to Sheffield Live on 93.2 FM.
Hello, yes, it's Sheffield Live. Here we are on Deserted Island Disc. It's Ben McGinley. Time's running out for us, Ben. We've got through most of your life, but I think the most important part of your life for me is when you met me. No, from when you got to the Grapes. And that what's that community like now for you?
Oh, I couldn't speak highly enough about it. I'm probably not as much as I used to be. But yeah, I just couldn't speak highly enough about the people in there. From, you know, like I found 6 years of employment in there. Went out as self-employed as a labourer / builder from meeting Caron to just a great spot to go and sit with your friends, like with the Gaelic team. They do our sponsorship, and it's sort of just the HQ of Irish people in Sheffield, I would say.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Gaelic football then. So what's the pretty successful team? Yeah, men and women. Yeah.
Yeah. We're not doing too bad. Club's still pretty young. I think it was founded in 2017. And what I've always said is it's had no right to have the standard of Gaelic players that it's got in Sheffield right now. I'm one of the younger ones, so whenever all the lads sort of retire, I might be 3 or 4 years behind them, and it's going to be real dark days. But no, we're really, really fortunate. We've done quite well with, I couldn't even tell you how many league titles. And
the silverware now.
We've done pretty well. Like,
no, but what's the info? How often the season? Tell us about the season, how often you play, and who you play.
So it's a Yorkshire league. Yorkshire stretches as far as Newcastle, as far as Gaelic's concerned.
Yeah, so it's who else they can play in it.
Yeah, I think you've got 3 teams in Leeds, Huddersfield, York used to be floating about, but I think they're struggling, Newcastle, and they play on a Sunday. We're training twice a week. I've not been about as much this year as maybe I should have been, just with the amount that's going on. But,
But it fills up. So when's the season start? Sorry, is it like you're nearly finished now? Or,
no, we're kind of sort of in the middle of it.
Halfway through, yeah.
But
you're looking for players, aren't you? So I mean, and you don't have to be Irish to play. So I always say like that. If people fancied having a go,
yeah, we have people from all backgrounds. We have South Africans. We have a lot of English fellas. We had a Greek fella. The community is great. I couldn't recommend joining it enough, even if you're not any good at sport or the sport. Just get down for a bit of crack, and if you don't like it, you don't have to come back. No one's forcing your arm, but it's something not to be missed. It's really good.
Yeah, and there's a really nice community there. So we are running out of time. I don't know if we're gonna have a chance for both your songs, so let's give it a go. We'll give you a little bit of your next one, the Tumbling Paddies one, because you've asked for it. Is this related to the Gaelic football?
Yeah, this would just be this song we played quite a lot in the Grapes. I've donated a big speaker, and this would take up the best part of the speaker.
That's what I've seen, because it's usually Sunday night, so you play the games on a Sunday. Is that right, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
And then on the Sunday after the game, when you've earned well-earned pints, you'll bring out the speaker and
give out a bit of bad manners.
Yeah, and this is one of the songs that you play in there. So it's The Way I Am, the Tumbling Paddies.
Pass you by, I'll get to where I'm going, but first there's not knowing what's written in the stars, 'cause I'm last to leave the bar. Spend the weekends over drinking, Mondays overthinking, will I find a better plan? Will I try my best and I'll die trying? It's just the way I am. Living, but the cards I've been given, if only I could see what lies ahead for me. If I wake up in the morning and I hear the road is calling, I'll give it all I've got. Never mind the pints and shots. Spend the weekends over drinking, Mondays over thinking, will I find a better plan? But I try my best and I'll die trying. It's just the way I am. Oh, it's just the way I am. Mondays overthinking, will I find a better plan? But I try my best and I'll die trying. It's just the way I am. Whoa, it's just the way I am.
Tumbling Paddies, the way I am. Yes. Have you seen them, Ben?
Yeah, I've seen them twice, down in the Leadmill when it was still there, and then I've seen them up in the Octagon.
They seem like fun. Yeah, do you have a dance? A bit of a jig down the front.
Great crack, like. yeah, I wouldn't call it dancing, but it was good.
Good stuff. So that's the fifth choice of my guest tonight, Ben McGinley. We're going to try and squeeze one more song in before 7 o'clock. But let's get back to you and talking about, I suppose, what life is like now for you, Ben.
It's all in the fast lane now, so it is.
New baby on the way.
Baby on the way. Bought a house. Started a new job there about 5 months ago. And it's all sort of just reality sunk in, and it's all come really fast.
So I don't know what you can say about your new job without being too secretive, innit? But it's a good job, that it's got a good career path, but...
it's not too bad. I'm a prison officer. If you had asked me a year or 15 years ago, would I see myself a prison officer? I'd probably laughed at you.
Working
like,
for Her Majesty's.
Well, this is a private sector,
His Majesty's, yeah. Oh, you're right, okay.
Yeah, so it's I don't have to have that looming around me, but... it came up, and I wanted something that wasn't self-employment. And I'm doing it, and it seems to be going pretty well. And it's all right. You have a bit of laugh with the lads, and I think if you've not been in that environment, you can't imagine it. You don't really know what goes on in behind the high walls, but it's not what you imagine. You have good days and bad days. Don't get me wrong, but some of the lads are the characters, like, and there's definitely a bit of crack to be had.
I mean, I've been knowing you for some time. I can see that you're enjoying it, enjoying the challenge, and you're taking to that kind of responsibility. So as I say, it started on early on. So you only 26 years old, but I'm saying, if you people listening to you think you're a lot older, and I've always said that you've got that kind of head on your shoulders that can handle that environment. So you must be working with people, in that environment who are a lot older and a lot more kind of world experience. But I'm sure they've got a lot of respect for you as well.
I think the thing is, when you come in and you're a young fella, you gain no respect at all. But I think as it's gone on, I've definitely gained it. I think the big thing that kind of sets me apart is, I could have been on either side of this prison. You could have lived it, so you don't treat them any less than what you are. It's going well. It's going all right.
That's nice. It's good, good. Well, we are quickly running out of time. We're going to squeeze your last song in, and I suppose this song you've been saying is... go on, you tell us why.
Yeah, well, this song kind of... My hand was forced in this one, with a baby on the way and stuff. My girlfriend, Kiva, she's...
How long have you been together, Kiva?
Hold
on, sorry. Put you on the spot now.
Yeah, you've ruined it for me now. I've been with Kiva since just the end of December there last year, 2024. She's been talking about she can do a playlist for the birth.
Yeah.
And this is the big song on it. So, no, it's nice. It's a wee thought of the baby that's to come and thought of her as well. So,
okay, let's play it. So it's Diamonds and Roses by Kingfisher, and then we'll have a quick chance to say goodbye to everyone as well. But, yeah, Diamonds and Roses.
Gone are the days of the ivory towers, butterfly kisses and analog flowers, wandering eyes watching over the trees, screaming internally. There you are, with those Jezebel eyes, there you are. Not a cloud in your skies, there you are. At 100 degrees, singing diamonds and roses, and everything's golden, but that doesn't matter to me. Love letters written with programmed affection, poisonous whispers and data collection. The Garden of Eden, Guantanamo Bay, hanging on holy days. There you are, with those Jezebel eyes, there you are. Not a cloud in your skies, there you are. At 100 degrees, singing diamonds and roses, and everything's golden, but that doesn't matter to me.
Diamonds and Roses, the choice of Ben McGinley there. So we're running out of time, we've got less than 2 minutes left, but I just, one thing I was picking up earlier which was really nice, we were talking about Kieran O'Shea, but I know Kieran O'Shea and he's a top man, but he always describes you as like the hardest ever working person he's ever met, so you kind of get stuck in.
Yeah, I did a shift on Sunday night, 13 hours, and then worked at his for the next sort of 6 or 7 hours. But no, I couldn't speak highly enough of Kieran. He knows that as well. He's just absolutely top class since I've met him, you know. Got off their ropey start with Michael's reference, but yeah. No, he completely took me under his wing. He's top class. Since he's bought the house, I've been with him day dot from start to finish.
He's seen something in you, isn't he, to keep that going there.
I don't know how, but yeah, I've got to be with him on Friday morning at 8 o'clock, finishing his garden, so I'll not say too much about him or he'll take a piss out of me. Couldn't speak highly enough about him.
No, he's top man. So it's nearly time for the end, so thanks for doing the show. I've enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's been great. A bit nervous at the start, but you're big on air saying is it's faded away in the background, so good.
So, Deserted Island Dish, it's the show that every week we try and get people from the island of Ireland to come and talk to us about their time of growing up in Ireland and what it's like living in Sheffield. So, as I say, I've run out of all the Irish people I know, so please get in touch with the show if you know anyone Irish or of Irish descent that wants to get involved. I've got an Irishman next week who's from the north as well. He's a Protestant, so he'll be the first Northern Irish Protestant I'll have on the show. So that'll be interesting. So join us next week, and thanks for listening, everyone. Take care.